Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Today, inshallah, I will continue my talk on ego and egotism. I will share with you more teachings of Muslim ethicists and mystics on this subject. For those of you who were present last time, you probably recall that I discussed selfishness. What selfishness means, what some of its forms and faces are. I also mentioned that according to Muslim ethicists, selfishness is the mother of all vices. Vices such as arrogance, jealousy, greed, they are all different faces of selfishness. They are all symptoms of the same disease, selfishness. Selfishness is a common trait. It afflicts all of us, albeit to varying degrees. Every single one of us, to some degree, suffers from selfishness. And there is no escaping from that. Unfortunately, we live in an era where selfishness is actually promoted by our culture. How so? The modern world glorifies individualism and competition. Individualism and competition are two pillars of the modern Western society. And by extension, the rest of the world. The pre-modern world put great emphasis on community. In the pre-modern world, for example, family was the nucleus of society. Today, things have changed. In the modern world, the emphasis shifted from community or the collectivity to the individual. Today, our economic system is based on competition. Competition between individuals and between firms. So the individualism and the hyper-competitiveness of our contemporary world feed selfishness, reinforces selfishness. That's our modern predicament. Selfish people are bound to collide with each other. They are bound to butt heads. And when selfish people collide, guess what? It creates tension, conflict, and stress. Selfishness may bring financial success, but rest assured that it will never bring peace. Now, this outcome should not be taken lightly, because according to the Holy Quran, what separates paradise from hell is peace. When you read the Holy Quran, there is one thing, only one thing that separates paradise from hell. What is that? Peace. The Quran calls paradise Darus Salam, the abode of peace. Hell, on the other hand, is the abode of conflict. Wherever there are a lot of selfish people and they fight with each other, that place is hell. To the extent that selfishness creates conflict among human beings at different levels, it will make life hellish for everybody. Now comes the important question. What is the cure for selfishness? That's what I'd like to talk about today. My good mentor and teacher Rumi has a lot to say on the cure for selfishness. So first, I will share with you today some of Rumi's teachings, and then I will present some practical tips, some practical ways for overcoming selfishness. Let's begin. What is the cure for selfishness? In egotism series, several times I refer to selfishness as a disease. A disease, whether it's physical or psychological, will have symptoms. All diseases have symptoms. Selfishness also has symptoms. It has indications, such as greed, arrogance, deceit, betrayal, so on and so forth, which we call vices. When I am sick, I have two options. I can either treat the symptoms of my illness, or I can treat the root cause of my illness. The same idea applies to selfishness. I can either treat the symptoms of selfishness, vices, or I can treat the root cause of my disease, which is selfishness. I think an analogy can better explain these two options for us. Suppose that I am holding a cup in my hand, and this cup is filled with iron fillings. Accidentally, I drop the cup on the ground. Now, how can I collect the iron fillings? Well, I can get a magnifying glass, sit on the floor, and patiently collect the fillings, one iron filling at a time. As you can imagine, this will take a long time and it will be a torture, very painstaking. There is a quicker way. There is a quicker way to collect the iron fillings. I can use a magnet. The magnet will instantaneously pull all the iron fillings to itself. Now, vices are like iron fillings in this example. I can try to treat my vices one vice at a time, or I can use a magnet. Is there such a magnet to collect and dispose vices? Rumi said, yeah, absolutely. Love. Love is a powerful magnet. Love cures the root cause of all vices, selfishness. Love is the antidote, the medicine for selfishness. And when selfishness is cured, its symptoms or vices will disappear. Love, obviously, is one of the most widely used in all cultures. Everywhere around the world that you visit, people talk about love. But love means different things to different people. Some people associate love with emotions. They associate love, for example, with romantic feelings. Some even equate love with lust. But love has an entirely different meaning for Rumi. Listen to what Rumi says about love, or how he defines love. Quote, "Do you know what love is? Love is all kindness, generosity. Disharmony prevails when you confuse lust with love, while the distance between the two is endless." Rumi said, whenever I talk about love, I'm not talking about lust. I'm not talking about feelings or emotions. For Rumi, love is an abundance of kindness. Love is an abundance of compassion and generosity. And therein lies the therapeutic effect of love, so to speak. Love takes the focus and the energy away from me and directs it towards the other. That's how love does its magic. It takes the focus and the energy away from me and directs it towards the other. That's how love cures selfishness. It empowers the person to open up to others. It empowers the person to go beyond his or her limited self. For Rumi, love is a healer. Love is a healer. Take a listen. هر کرا جام ز عشقی چاک شد او ز حرص و عیب کلی پاک شد. شاد باش ای عشق خوش سودای ما، ای طبیب جمله علتهای ما، ای دوای نخوت و ناموس ما، ای تو افلاطون و جالینوس ما. Rumi says, anyone whose garment is rent by a mighty love is purged of covetousness and all defect. Hail, O love, that bring us good gain. You are the healer of all our ills. You are the remedy for our pride and vainglory. You are our Plato and Galen. Love heals the most devastating disease that can afflict our character, selfishness. Love purges all character flaws, all moral defects, because love treats the root cause of flaws and moral defects, which is selfishness. Now, there is a more potent aspect to love's healing power. What is that? What is that more potent aspect of the healing power of love? Rumi says, sacrifice. Sacrifice. Love teaches sacrifice. Love is the teacher of sacrifice. Sacrifice is more than ordinary giving. When, for example, I give money to a charity, that's not a sacrifice. Sacrifice is when I put the other ahead of myself. The other may be my spouse, maybe my kids, maybe a cause, or my nation. Whatever that may be, I put that thing or that person ahead of myself. For example, when you put your spouse's needs ahead of your own, when you put your spouse's well-being ahead of your own, when you make compromises for the sake of your marital relationship, that is a sacrifice. And sacrifice is the essence of love. Sacrifice is the essence of love. And the sky is the limit for the sacrifices that love can induce in us. Only the sky is the limit for what love can teach in order to sacrifice. In our Islamic tradition, Imam Hussein symbolizes the ultimate sacrifice a lover can make in the service of the beloved. What is that? Giving up his most valuable asset, his life. His life. That's the highest expression of sacrifice. And that's what Imam Hussein did. For Rumi, Imam Hussein exemplifies love. All shreds of me all shreds of my and mine had evaporated in Hussein. Imam Hussein embodied love and sacrifice in its fullest form. Rumi has a poem so famous that many of you might have heard it and some may even have it memorized. I have it memorized. In this poem, Rumi addresses Imam Hussein and the martyrs of Karbala. This is such a profound and heartfelt poem which shakes me to my core every time I read it. So let me read it to you. کجایید ای شهیدان خدایی بلاجویان دشت کربلایی کجایید ای سبک روحان عاشق پرنده تر ز مرغان هوایی کجایید ای شهان آسمانی بدانست فلک را درگشایی کجایید ای ز جان و جا رهیده کسی مر عقل را گوید کجایی کجایید ای در زندان شکسته بداد وامداران را رهایی کجایید ای در مخزن گشاده کجایید ای نوای بی نوایی در آن بحرید کین عالم کف اوست زمانی بیش دارید آشنایی کف دریاست صورتهای عالم ز کف بگذر اگر اهل صفایی. Such a profound poem by Rumi addressed to Imam Hussein and the martyrs of Karbala. Let me give you the English translation of this beautiful poem, which, by the way, cannot justice to the original Persian. Where are you, O divine martyrs, calamity seekers of the plain of Karbala? Where are you, O delight-spirited lovers, speedier on wing than the birds of the air? Where are you, O you celestial kings, who know how to open the heaven's gate? Where are you, O you who escaped from body and place? How can anyone tell reason? Where are you? Where are you, O you who have broken the door of the prison and set the debtors free? Where are you, O you who have opened the treasure chest? Where are you, help of the helpless? You are in that sea whereof the world is the foam. Swim a while more. The forms of this world are like the foam of the sea. Leave the foam if you seek purity. I can literally spend a couple of hours giving commentary on this profound poem where Rumi really talks about love and what love can enable us to do. We are running out of time, so let me close this portion of my talk. In a nutshell, love is the cure for selfishness. Love's magic lies in giving our attention and resources to others, not just to our own self. And that's how love cures selfishness. And as our selfishness diminishes, so will our vices. Now let's get practical. Let me share with you some practical tips, some practical ways to move away from selfishness and towards otherishness. Selfishness and otherishness, which is what love essentially does. The first tip: give to others from what you love. Give to others from what you love. In fact, This is precisely what the Holy Quran demands of believers. Chapter 3, verse 92. لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. You will never attain the height of goodness unless you give from what you love. Unless you give from what you love. Now, the Quranic commandments for zakat, almsgiving, sadaqah, charitable giving, infaq, generous giving, all of these are derived from this key teaching from the Holy Quran. Give from what you love. Yes, when we give zakat, sadaqah, infaq, we partly do it to ease the hardships of the needy. But in doing so, we also chip away at our selfishness, because we direct our fortunes towards others. The second tip, the second practical way to deal and treat selfishness. Listen actively. Listen actively. Believe it or not, listening is an act of love. But let me qualify what I just said. Active listening, not passive listening. Active listening is an act of love. What's the difference between passive and active listening? Passive listening is when, for example, I give a chance to the other person to talk. But in the meantime, maybe my mind is wandering around. My mind may be somewhere else while this person is talking. Or I may be thinking what I'm going to say next. This is passive listening, which is really no listening at all. I'm not listening to this guy. Active listening, on the other hand, is when I focus on what the speaker is saying. I can even show him that I'm interested in what he's saying through eye contact, for example. I will let him finish his talk without interruption. And maybe I can even ask some follow-up questions to really understand what he's trying to say. That's how active listening shapes up. In any case, active listening takes the focus away from me and puts the focus on the other. The third tip and practical way. Give sincere compliments. Give sincere compliments. By the way, none of these things is earth-shattering. I mean, here you don't have to go to the moon to deal with your selfishness. You can definitely take baby steps to cure your selfishness. Or I should say, all of us can take baby step to cure our inherent selfishness. The third tip is give sincere compliments. When someone shines, don't hesitate to give her kudos. Giving sincere compliment is also an act of love. Giving the other a compliment is a pushback against the ego, because the ego is jealous. The ego is jealous of the other people's success. And when you give other people compliment for a good performance, hey, guess what? You are pushing the ego back. The fourth tip, volunteer for a cause. Volunteer for a cause. Now, this can take on many, many different forms. Volunteering for a cause may involve working in a soup kitchen, It may involve joining the PTA at your kid's school. It may involve helping to organize a street protest for a social justice cause. It may involve volunteering in your local Islamic center or church. In any case, when you give part of your time to serve others, you will tame your selfishness. The next practical tip: let others make decisions. Let others make decisions. Last time I mentioned that selfish people tend to be control freaks. Selfish people are control freaks. They want to control every situation, every conversation, every relationship, and they want to monopolize decision making. They think it's all about them. A control freak can loosen up by letting others make decisions. Again, this doesn't have to be earth-shattering. Letting others make a decision could be as mundane as letting someone else choose the restaurant, or let someone else plan the next family trip. In any case, letting others make decisions that involve them is also an expression of love towards them. The next practical tip. This is my own favorite, by the way. Surround yourself with loving and compassionate people. Surround yourself with loving and compassionate people. Those of you who've been coming to my lectures for the past, God knows, 10, 20 years, you know that I frequently warn my audience of the perils of mingling with the wrong crowd, which, by the way, comes directly from the Holy Quran. Let me give you the reference for that. Chapter 24, verse 26. Al-khabisatu lil-khabisin. Wal-khabisuna lil-khabisat. Wat-tayyibatu lil-tayyibin. Wat-tayyibuna lil-tayyibat. Vile, meaning corrupt or impure. Vile women are for vile men, and vile men are for vile women, and good women are for good men, and good men are for good women. Amazing, isn't it? The same idea is repeated 4 times in a row in this short verse. What is that idea? Be extra careful whom you mingle with, because whom you mingle with is not only a reflection of who you are, but more importantly, it will reinforce goodness or badness in you. The environment matters a lot. Take this seriously. Who you mingle with is going to deeply impact your character and your moral status. As the illustrious Persian poet Sa'di so beautifully puts it, Geli khushbooy dar hammam roozi rasid az dast mahboobi be dastam bedu goftam ke mushki ya abiri که از بوی دلاویز تو مستم. بگفتا من گلی ناچیز بودم ولی که مدتی با گل نشستم. کمال همنشین در من اثر کرد وگرنه من همون خاکم که هستم. In the bathhouse once came to my hands a piece of clay, sweet smelling, from a lovely boy. I asked the clay, Are you ambergris or musk? I am intoxicated by your sweet scent. Said the clay, I was a worthless clod of mud, but for a moment I sat beside a rose. Proximity of beauty had its effect. If not, I'd be the mud still that I was. So, brothers and sisters, surround yourself with loving and kind people, because that will surely rub off on you. You want to tame your selfishness? Here is another tip. Stand up for others. When Imam Ali was on his deathbed, he made a will. In that will, Imam Ali had a lot of advices for his family and for anybody who aspires to take him as his role model. And hopefully, Imam Ali is the role model of all of us. In that will, Imam Ali said, "Kuna lizzalimi khasman walil mazlumi auna." Be an enemy of the oppressor and an aid to the oppressed. Oppressor is anyone who bullies others. Oppressor is anyone who bullies others, anyone who harms, intimidates, or coerces helpless people, coerces vulnerable people. The bully can be a dictator such as Khamenei, or the bully can be an aggressive co-worker. Standing up for others is an act of love. Whenever you stand up for somebody else, you are showing love to that person. So, brothers and sisters, we can take baby steps. Speak up when someone makes a discriminatory comment, when someone makes an offensive joke about minorities in a meeting. Write up to your elected officials and demand that they care for the most vulnerable members of our society, the poor, the disabled, and the homeless. Well, I can go on and give you more and more practical tips, but we're running out of time and I have to stop right here. Hopefully I can pick up where I'm leaving off today in a future sermon. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.